Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone here in the sanctuary and down in the fellowship room, and to those watching online. I'm very happy to see all your smiling faces. It's been a rough week for us all, but praise God, power is coming back. People have water, trees are getting removed, so we're thankful for God's hand of protection during this time. So welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. We're happy to be worshiping with you this morning. We have just a couple announcements I want to bring to your attention. New beginnings. We only have two items left needed for a 17-year-old boy. So we just have two that are due back in August 23rd. So that would be awesome if you haven't picked any up, or if you want to take the last two, and then I think it's gotten about 50 items that we will together as a church be able to donate to New Beginnings. And then the other thing I just want to bring to your attention is our annual Safe Church meeting, which is going to be held on Sunday, August 23rd. That's in a couple of weeks in the fellowship room downstairs. That is open to everybody in the church. Of course, we need to have the volunteers working with the kids come, but open to everyone, because we are going to be discussing what Sunday school is going to look like and youth programs will look like and the new guidelines that we'll have. So please make an effort to come today. And after church at 12:15, we will be meeting in the sanctuary for the church board meeting as well. Does anyone have anything they want to add? All right, then let's join together and worship the Lord.
Thank you. about to worship. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty.
Just and true are your ways, King of Kings.
Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name?
For you alone are holy.
All nations will come and worship before you.
For your righteous acts have been revealed.
Let us join in song.
Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise your name above all the nations. We join our hearts together to worship you in spirit and in truth. For you are the one true God, and your hand is upon your creation and your people. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, even in a difficult week, Lord, that your faithfulness and your provision has fallen upon each and every one of us. For you are not moved of the things of this world, but you are moved for the love of your children and those who call you Father. Abba, Father, you are a good, good Father. And you have unfailing and unending love for all of your children. So let us join our hearts together as we worship the Lord in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is Proverbs 9, 1 through 6, and 13 through 18, and that's found on page 516 in your pew Bible. Wisdom's Feast. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Now we're doing 13 through 16. Through 18, sorry. Folly's invitation and promise. The foolish woman is loud. She is ignorant and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the high places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. You who are simple, turn in here. And to those without sense, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but they do not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths, or in the depths of Sheol. Our next reading is from Revelation. Oop. Ah. Sorry. Revelation 2, 18 through 29. And that's on page 996 in your pew Bible. The message of Thyatira. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. Beware, I am throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of their doings. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned that some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations, to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered, even as I also received authority from my Father. To the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Is now and ever shall be.
sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Once blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield. My Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
How genuine you are, Brother Dave. To God be the glory. Our chains are gone. We've been set free. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we come to you on behalf of our world, our country, your church, our community, our neighbors. Yes, we've had a tropical storm, but it seems like more than a storm has been raging all around for 5-6 months now. But you are always present to help in any time of trouble. We will not fear in this time of crisis. With a virus, with violence in cities, areas of the world facing extreme poverty and famine, injustice all around. So Lord, we ask you to pour out your peace throughout the world. We pray that by the power of Jesus' name that wrongs would be stopped and people would be totally free. So we pray for missionaries, many who cannot get back into their areas. We pray for the missionaries in your church in Guatemala, the Oasis, in Congo, East Asia, and throughout the world. For Jay and Kathy Freeland, for Mike Anacoli and family, for Lisa and Peter Ting and family, for the Ziegelbauers, and so many others that are probably on our hearts and minds, Lord. We thank you that though the missionaries are not there, your churches in those locations throughout the world are thriving. Baptisms, many coming to faith. But oh, how the missionaries want to get back and rejoice and be there. So we pray that would happen soon. Almighty God, we pray for our country, our leaders. Lord, be with them. Raise up those who love you, Lord. Give them the places of influence. We pray for our schools, for teachers, for administrators, for the families at homeschool. We pray for the children, Lord, for all the families and individuals. Oh, Lord, we lift up the elderly and the homebound to you. Be with them. Encourage them today. We pray for Tina Nelson, Tess and Troy Muckle, Ed and Alice Nelson. It's been a month since the burying of Kyle, saying goodbye. We pray for Herb and Rogene LaPlante. Thank you that Herb is home and they do have their power back on. And we pray for Karen and George Anacoli, for Grace Dayton, Art and Claire Peel, others who are in our hearts and minds. For our church family, that it's apart in many ways because of the pandemic. Oh, Lord, how we want to be together. Be with those who cannot be here now. And, Lord, we do pray for those still without power. I know a few, Janie Stoddard and Ted Nan Ryan. I'm sure there's more. We pray for those whose homes are unavailable from the storm. Maya, Glenn, Elsie, and Addie. Major damage to their house from a fallen tree. Thank you that they can still be in it. But be with so many more who, you know, the fallout continues, the cleanup. Go before them. And before all, O Lord, you are good. Show your favor in the days ahead. And Lord, in the last 5 months or more, addiction is on the rise. There are those who are in the battle or facing depression or darkness. We pray for each one, for all who mourn today. We also pray for those in financial trouble. Many searching for jobs, for families uncertain how to be present for the kids and working this fall. Oh, we pray for our children and youth, guard their hearts and their minds. Give them peaceful times, connections with you, with family, with friends. And Lord, more and more keeps coming out in the news. We pray for victims of abuse, for the innocent and vulnerable. We pray a binding of the strong man and the enemies sever that abusive power, Lord. Most of all, we pray for healing and restoration of your children, O God. And we would be remiss if we didn't pray for the lost, the prodigal sons and daughters. They continue to run from you, Lord. In many ways, if they're loved ones or friends or acquaintances, it's out of our hands, Lord, as family, as friends. But Lord, we trust in you that you will bring them home, that you have people close by, that even today there'd be a rescue that's happening wherever they are today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that many will come. Many will come to you, home to you in Jesus' name. We pray for our church, for your purpose for us to continue in this time, for stillness to trust you and know that you are God, for unity, for board meeting today, our chair, Ken Hopkins, and the leaders. We pray your Spirit's blessing and filling for the decisions ahead, Lord. And Holy Spirit, now bless and fill your children. Entrust your big plans and purpose to us. Make it plain and we will follow. Open our hearts, our minds to your word, your holy word. You are good, loving, and you are here now. We love you and we continue to welcome your presence. Amen.
Did everybody lose power? You did. You guys did. You did.
I'm still on.
You still are? I'm glad you're here. 3 cheers. giant tree that it came from? When? What happened, Asher? It not only fell on her house, but it went through the house and into the bathroom upstairs. So we didn't plan that decor. It doesn't belong there. So that's why they're not here. They're meeting with the Travelers Insurance Adjuster at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. What? It's the first thing they could get, and it's best not to put those people aside. So Elsie, who's only three, came up to me and said, Mormor, I'm scared. I said, why? I knew why, but you know, she's three, so I asked. Said, tree in my house. Not on our house, in the house. Said, tree on my house. And I said, so you're scared? She goes, and sad. I'm sad. And I said, well, what do we know about God? And she looked at me with a quiz in her eyes, like, I don't know what you're talking about, Mormor. Why are you saying such things? So I want to explain to you. When we're sad, when we're scared, when something terrible has happened, we can say, okay, that is scary, that's awful, we're afraid, and it's very important to express that and feel that because that's what's going on. But then I said to her, what do we know about God? And she said, I don't know. And so what I'm going to teach her as she gets older, like you guys, is to tell her that God is good, that God is love, that God has a plan and purpose, even in the sad and scary and angry and fearful times, even when there's a giant tree in your bathroom. God is good, God is kind, God is loving, God is present, and there are promises that he made to us, and we can stand on those promises. Pastor Tim is going to be talking about something very strange today. I don't know if you heard Mrs. Krasnowski as she read. I didn't understand it. I said, what is she saying right now? It was so confusing to me. I felt like a three-year-old. I didn't know what she was talking about, but we're going to learn about it today. Now, I don't know if it's going to make sense to you even after Pastor Tim talks about it. Try to listen. But what I tell you is that when bad things happen, and when we're scared, and when we're afraid, and when we're fearful, we can just claim the promises of God, that he knows what's going on, he sees what's going on, he loves us so, so, so much, and he's going to do whatever he can to make it better, and he is going to help you, he is going to rescue you, he is going to save you, and things will get better. That's a promise, and we can stand on the promises of God. So let's pray. Lord, while things are weird and crazy and mask wearing and trees falling and things just are so confusing, and we're all just kids, Lord. We're all just kids, and we don't understand half of what's going on. But, Lord, what we do know and what is for sure
It was January 23rd, my father passed away. Many of you know that. I was there, my sister's, 2 months earlier at Thanksgiving, and we got to say somewhat of a goodbye. I was scheduled to be there, to fly there Saturday, the 25th of January, so I got there late, but I was able to spend a couple days with my mother. I was looking forward to Sunday morning, the 26th. You all were getting ready to worship here, and I was sitting overlooking the Lake Michigan in my mom's apartment. But I wanted to get the Chicago Tribune to read Dad's obituary. So I did, and I read, and I reflected, and prayed a bit. And it was interesting and strangely symbolic. What else was in the paper that day? You know, when things are close by in proximity, is it a coincidence or is there something going on? Was God speaking to me about something? Well, first there was an article about the 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl champs. So that was great. I mean, it was almost Super Bowl, you know, coming up probably in February. So they had that article and all the names, and I still have that. I'm going to hold on to that. But also an announcement that Swedish Covenant Hospital was now joining the North Shore University Health System. And that's a connection, the hospital connected to our denomination in Chicago, North Park University, and, you know, the Mission Friends way back. And that's where my dad, as a doctor, had his private practice. And a doctor of obstetrics and gynecology. Most of you know what that is, but for those who don't, when I was a kid, I used to tell my friends, my dad delivers a lot of babies. So that's what he did. Also in the editorial section, it was headlined with, "Why Did Auschwitz Happen?" I'm like, wow, an interesting article. But the next day, the 26th of January, would be 75 years since the liberation from the Nazis. An interesting article. But this is what I'm getting to. Down below that was a cartoon. It was dark. It was demonic, literally. It shook me. It shocked me. It horrified me. It cut me to the heart. I took that section, folded up, and put it in my backpack. I don't know if I didn't want my mom to see it or I just didn't want to look at it anymore. And let me tell you what it was. The picture was of a grown fetus in a cartoon form holding a printed out piece of paper that said, "Abortions up 7% in the state." And then the cartoon caption on the top read, "The other Illinois exodus." Got to think about that a little bit. But we know that many innocent were killed in Egypt around the time of the exodus. And also there were many, many young people, the innocent, whose lives were lost in Auschwitz and all the Nazi camps. They don't talk about that much. And obviously in Illinois, the loss of life. So why the horror and the shock? Well, that alone, you know, I know it becomes political, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more. Why I share this is what wasn't in my father's obituary. His work was at a women's aid clinic. My father performed abortions on the side. Yeah, he delivered babies, but he did some other things too. That weekend I showed my mom the picture. I asked my mom about it, and she said, "Oh, I hated that so much that your father was doing that work." My dad actually didn't have a problem with it. Let me tell you one more story about my life. My high school years could be titled Partying and Promiscuous. I was a wild athlete, and yeah, freshman year on, probably for a decade, that was my life. And my first girlfriend, when I was 16, you're maybe anticipating this, she got pregnant. You know, we were horrified, didn't know what to do, scared to death. You have to tell your family. You're 16 years old. And after the council of family and their shock and you know, the shaming. How could you do this to us? How could you do this? What are people going to think? And on and on and on. I just, you know, you feel about that small. I know. But the decision was made for an abortion performed at my father's clinic. Not by him. For both of us, for many years, you know, the worst nightmare time of my life. Much repentance and tears and crying. And God has been very merciful and healing. But I know that there have been consequences because of that in my life. Why do I share this information? Well, in the letter to the church at Thyatira in 2:18, they have been infiltrated by Jezebel. I'd like to suggest that it's the spirit of Jezebel. It's not someone named Jezebel. It's the spirit of Jezebel from the Old Testament. She was the Phoenician queen, a princess, who grew up with Baal worship, the sacrifice of innocent lives along with prostitutes. It was all part of their worship. This is what she grew up with, and this is what she brought into Israel as she married King Ahab. And so the Israelites were getting involved in this. They say, wow, this is different. You know, they just kind of went their own way and left God, and God held them accountable. He judged them severely for what our scriptures would call immoral abominations and sin. And I'll tell you, this evil spirit has lived on to our own day and age. And again, I know there's a lot of different views about abortion, but right now it's in the news and people are very proud of it. Two major proponents of abortion are giving $100 million to any candidates, politicians throughout the country who will bring new policy and law to fully fund abortion on the backs of taxpayers. So I'll leave that there. Then the other thing, the Jezebel spirit is also exposed in the Jeffrey Epstein case. If you're not familiar with it, it'll shock you. And what all that is coming out, there'll be names, there'll be everything that's going to happen. He owned Little St. James Island in the Virgin Islands, also called the Island of Sin, among other names, which we won't say here. Lord only knows what all will come out about this place. All the perpetrators, some in very high places. The exploitation, trafficking, abuse, and sacrifice of many innocent lives. I was led to just write down, the Lord have mercy on this nation and upon Christ's church, upon us all. You can go further, check yesterday's Republican American. I can't believe the article was on the front page and into page 3 or 5. I'll just leave it at that. Lisa pointed that out to me, and maybe not knowing, or maybe she knew what I was going to share today. And there's also a story online that just came out, a book by an Olympic gymnast, and her uncovering the atrocities that happened to her. Jonathan Kahn's book, Paradigm, goes right into the Jezebel spirit. Interesting. Read. Connecting the dots from the Old Testament all the way to present day and age. History, facts, names. That same spirit of Jezebel that continues to take lives and celebrate it. So Revelation 2:20, Jesus, the Son of God, says, I have this against you, church. You tolerate that woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality. You know, probably someone outside the church, they have a big following, you know, Facebook page, all that kind of thing, if they had that in the day and age, and everybody loves her, and she sets herself up as the authority. You know, God's not an authority. Christ is an authority. I'm the authority. You know, that's what that Jezebel spirit is. They are above the law. They're above God. And they have no problem with it. Jesus, it says, who has feet like burnished bronze, as verse 21, I have given her time to repent of her sin, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, you know, the bed that she's already made for herself and others. And I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer severely unless they repent of their ways. I will strike her offspring dead. That's not her children, that's her followers. Then all the churches will know, I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each according to their deeds. You know, they have a choice, life and mercy or death and destruction. You know, we have a choice too, right? Proverbs 9 that Antoinette read, it gives the, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom, she builds her house, she prepares her house, but then folly, you know, I'd like to say that's the spirit of Jezebel, and the spirit of, the Jezebel spirit, it can be men or men and women, you know, whomever, following it and being, you know, seduced by it. So I just wanted to read the folly part, especially the last verse. Folly is an unruly woman. She's simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by who go straight on their way, or those who are leading a steadfast way, those who are religious and they're committed to God and his ways. So the temptation's coming, if you will. Lost my spot. Calling out to those who pass by. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. And then this. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. It's a trap. And that's exactly what the Jezebel spirit does. It's a trap. And many are seduced. Some label Thyatira as the adulterous church. You know, they've left God for other things. I think we're all tempted. We all know our own lives and stories and times we've been away. I've shared a bit of my story, a little shocking. Hopefully you're not still stuck on that, but When immorality and idolatry take a hold of us, it creeps into the church, and the church begins to forsake Scripture and, you know, look the other way and just allow things to happen, say, well, that's just the way the world is, you know, when we're supposed to be a stronger body. You know, the world looks on and says, well, the church isn't much different than the world. What do they hold to? What do they stand for? What do they offer? And Jesus looks on and sees who is following and those falling away because they've been misled. You know, they've turned into the wrong house. They've been misled. Wednesday night in the dark, you know, the lights were out, and it was hardest at night, wasn't it? I mean, we had a little lamp. Some of you had generators. We didn't. I refuse to give my wife a generator. No, I'm just kidding. Every year, every time, it's like, every 5 years, it's like, oh, yeah, we're getting one. There's none available, and then you forget about it till the next storm. But Wednesday night, Lisa went upstairs, and she'd been reading by the little lamplight, and I put on a couple candles in the kitchen, and I'm in the, you know, I'm sitting in our love seat, and the kitchen's behind us, and it's dark except for the candles, and I kind of look up at the TV screen ahead of me, and there's two, you know, the two candles are reflecting in that. And I moved like this, and it was like two blazing eyes. And I got mesmerized. I mean, there was comfort in it, and it was like, wow, it almost looks like a wild animal. But then it was just these piercing eyes, the candle. And I could get right in the middle of them, and it just was, it was amazing. It became a time of prayer and discernment, and I knew, you know, that God had put some of this to share when I saw that the Jezebel spirit fell to me on this Sunday, you know, about a month or so ago. And I knew back when in January at my mom's that I would share a secret from my life. My family knows, and a few others know. I don't think I've ever shared it with a church, so. But sometimes things need to be shared. I hope it's okay in this context, and Bruce here. But so many, you know, and I don't feel like I've been chained by it. Maybe I have. But so many are chained by not sharing something that has happened to them. It's time to break the chains. But the Son of God is pictured, whose eyes are like a flame of fire. He is the one who searches our hearts and our minds to the depths of our soul. What does he see? What does he see about us? You know, the church is encouraged. He sees the good, the good works and the good deeds, but also, you know, there's that call to repentance. You know, this message is going out to more than those who are sitting here. God wants us to take care of things at home, in our own house, in our own life. Are there relationships and activities and indulgences that are causing you to stumble, to be unfaithful to Jesus? Here's one big thing. As I was looking into, the church growth came out with CDC guidelines that, you know, began to say, well, you gotta sanitize everything. And then they pulled back on that and said, well, it doesn't live on in surfaces and all this and that. And one line said, you know, addictions are already increasing, that because of the pandemic, the pornography is free online. I thought, you got to be kidding. Hopefully nobody here knows that, because it's a big problem. And we just pray for those who may be sucked into that, indulging in it. If that happens to be you, that needs to be severed immediately, and you may need help. There are grave circumstances. Talk about the spirit of Jezebel is all over and in that. And right now, we rebuke that evil sorceress spirit in Jesus' name. We claim that no one will ever turn into her house, submit to her, or hold her teachings ever again. And maybe some of us are in a place of repentance. It comes up every week. Sorry about that. It's the Bible. It's the seven churches. But if that's a need on your heart, come boldly to the altar. I mean, anytime people can come up, but in your heart, come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, you know, take it to the Lord. Anything that you're holding to that is unfaithful to God. We hold to some things, some little beliefs or little practices or this or that, and yeah, it's probably an unbiblical practice, but it means that we behave according to it. If I believe, if I hold to this, I behave according to it. Say, oh, that's okay. Everybody's doing it. No. The Lord wants the best for you and for me. He disciplines us out of love and kindness and mercy, urgency. His eye, first and foremost, of love is upon us. And let those blazing eyes, the fire of the blazing eyes, just pierce into your heart and feel the love and grace and mercy of God. His healing, his hand is upon you. The Lord sees your good deeds. He knows everything about you. He sees where it is hard and where the pathway might not be clear. He sees those who want to be free. He sees, he knows, he's with you. He loves you. Jesus says in verse 19, I know your deeds, I see it all. Your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance. And that's preaching to the choir here. The Lord sees that in the midst of this pandemic. He sees it. He sees it in you. He's for you. He's for you. He's always for you. You're doing, accomplishing more than at first. And verse 24, I will not burden you with any more. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast to until I come. Hold fast to it. To those who overcome and keep my deeds until the end, I will give authority over the nations. In verse 28, I will give them the morning star. Hold fast to what you have. Jesus gave to us himself. He's the morning star. Hold fast to Jesus. He gives us authority. Hold fast to his authority. Hold fast to our first love. It all goes back to the first letter. Leaving our first love. You know, at the end of the day, we ought to return to our first love. Every day, every morning, I return to you, Jesus. I want to hold fast to you. For he is good and faithful and present. Hold fast to Jesus, who sees you and he loves you. He loves you more than life. There is power in his mighty name. There is victory. When we hold to what we have in Jesus, the battle, it belongs to the Lord, and we have victory. What's meant for evil, God will use for good. Amen.
And now let us come and praise the Lord with our offerings. We have an offering plate up front. So as the worship team plays, if you want to come forward and place your offering in the basket, please do. And to those of you at home that haven't been with us, thank you so much for your faithfulness in sending in your tithes and offerings, for doing it online. We appreciate it, because the Lord will take what we give, he will multiply it, he will use it for good, and he will further his kingdom. So let us worship the Lord with our tithes.
God, I see those on behind.
Will the Lord be with you as you go out today? I know a lot was shared today, but like the song we just sang, you know, the Lord, he's turning, he wants to turn for good, even the hardships in our life. And he's done that. Many of you have a testimony. And he wants to use what has happened in our life for good. So the Lord bless you as he is turning whatever it is that happened or is happening. He's going to turn it for good. Watch and see. The Lord bless you. Amen.